everybody. Hey, welcome to Gnip Gnup. I am the Gnip. I am Greg Gnip, and he is, well,
Chris
the Gnup,
Yuzinski.
Chris Yuzinski. How are you, buddy?
I am better than the average bear. How's that?
Oh, that is, you know, that's a great thing. It's Friday. It's cloudy. It's kind of chilly here in our area.
Yes.
And you know what? We're just excited today because we've got a really cool guest on the show today. We'll tell you more about him in just a couple of minutes, but I'm very excited. So we'll be telling you more about that. So before I do anything, I have to say thank you so much to the Drive Magazine. They did an article on me about my 30 years in radio. Well, my 29 and 1 day less than 30 years. And it came out a little while ago. And if you haven't checked it out, you can go to my Facebook page, which is just Greg Gnip, and you can see it. And I'll put it up on the Gnip Gnup page as well. So
nice. You
can just kind of see what I dealt with over 30 years in radio.
Nice. Hey, you know, we always talk about different branding here and there on the show. And my shirt today, I think is a great one. I really think it's truly one of my favorites. And it's Sometimes You Need to Be Alone and Listen to Joy Division with Linus and Lucy.
That's awesome.
There you go.
That's very cool. I appreciate that a whole lot.
I know. Sometimes.
So I have to say, yesterday, it's going to sound weird the way I'm going to say this. Yesterday, I took a shower. I took a shower today, too. But it was yesterday I realized something with my COVID hair.
Okay.
I am going to single-handedly bring back the hairstyles of, like, Mozart, Beethoven.
Oh, nice.
My hair is now starting to dry, and when it's at that length, that it actually covers up the whole look. So I will be bringing back the 1700 suit.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I said I couldn't do it today because I just I had to run to the store really quickly to get batteries of all things.
Didn't want to scare everybody.
So I took a shower, threw my hat on, and then I went, I can't do it today. But yes, so very soon we'll be having powdered wigs courtesy of Gnip Gnup wearables.
That's pretty retro. I mean, just don't bring the plague back. Oh, wait,
no.
It's already here.
Too soon.
Sorry.
All right. Well, listen, you know what? There's a guy sitting off camera right now, and I'm excited. So you know what, I've done a lot of stuff. I've been lucky. I've worked with I've seen a lot of concerts. I've been to a whole ton of shows, and still one of my favorite concerts ever was catching this guy, and I want to say it was at the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor, and I'm talking a whole lot of years ago. He goes by the name of Pat Fish, the Jazz Butcher, JBC, whatever. But Pat Fish is on Gnip Gnup today, and we'd like to say, hey, welcome, Pat.
You're welcome. Hi, Pat.
Hi, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you.
And Pat is, Pat, you are live in the UK. It is evening time. For us, this is our lunchtime show, so sometimes we actually grab a drink or two while we're on. So I'm doing some sangria just because I think it's really festive that you're on today, and it's great seeing you.
Hola.
I'm not sure. What are you drinking, Pat?
I'm drinking black coffee.
Nice. Good for you. Good for you.
And I'm cheating with a Manhattan in a coffee cup.
I'm sorry.
Cheers, brother. Cheers.
So I figured, you know what? Go big or go home. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I am broadcasting from home. I'm already there.
There you go.
So Pat, just to let you know, this is how much I have appreciated your career and your music was this. Remember I said that I had a shirt of yours?
Oh my, so you do.
Big Planet.
I have saved this shirt since Ann Arbor.
So yeah, that would have been 89 at the Blind Pig, wouldn't it?
So yeah. We're looking at what, 32 years ago?
Ooh, don't.
So but you started touring when you were 4, right?
I was actually a late developer. I didn't even learn the guitar till I was 23.
See, really?
Uh-huh. I used to be a sax player.
Well, and you've done that. And well, speaking of sax, you've done saxophone. You've done flute on other albums, like other musicians.
Uh huh. Yeah, I played flute on one of Dave J's solo LPs and one with Sonic with Spectrum. Actually, no, that was Spaceman 3, wasn't it? The I Love You, that was on Recurring. So yeah, Spaceman 3, played flute for Dave Cudsworth on one of his albums.
Well, and like, well, it was just a couple of days ago when we were talking I said that was the first time I love Spaceman 3, and I had no idea that you were on that album. And I, you know, it's like, you know, you see those memes on Facebook where it's like, how old were you when? And it's like, I'm like, I was 55 when I learned this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 63 and I still don't know anything.
You know, and that's the whole thing, you know. So speaking of Facebook, and I've got to say, so there's, you know, a lot of people hate Facebook. A lot of people hate social media because it can be a real pain in the ass. And, but you commented on something on my page, and I remember it's the funniest thing, because I went, Pat Fish. And then I went, and it was one of those kind of, you know, when you appreciate somebody's talent and and I was like, it was like that giddy moment of the day. I was like, oh my goodness, Pat Fish commented on my page. I was like a giddy schoolgirl.
Yeah, but I was probably being horrible, right?
Yeah.
So
if you get me on the Facebook too early in the day, then it's just like,
well, yeah, and you know, and that's what I love about you, because you have posted some kind of, you know, every once in a while where I've been like, I'm like, ooh, not a good day today. But I love the honesty. That's what it should be. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to say what you got to say. So
yeah. Just calls it like I sees it. Yeah.
So I guess one of the things I really actually want to talk to you about, though, is, and I want to talk about this now, because everybody's craving live music and, you know, just anxiously looking. I said I've gone back to YouTube to watch old concert videos and things like that and checking out old. But you're doing something on Sunday live from Fishy Mansion. You're going to be actually performing live from your house, right?
From the mansions, yeah. It's not the first time I've done it. Initially, I was very resistant. You know, when the first lockdown came about a year ago, suddenly everyone was complaining about tousled-haired fools in their pajamas playing acoustic versions of their hits and making fools of themselves. And I thought, I don't want to do that. But on the other hand, the last year or so, I've been going out and playing in front of strangers, just me and a guitar. So I thought I stood a better chance of getting away with it than some people. And in the end, you know, the money starts to run out, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, oh, very much so. No, but
so, you know, I mean, I'm not getting any support from anyone anywhere except from what we laughingly call the fan base, who have been extremely generous with these things.
Oh, and that's awesome.
So the last few months, it's literally been my living.
Okay.
Well, you know. So so here's the thing, right? So playing a show like that, you know, is it hard to get yourself motivated? And I don't want to say motivated, because I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but you know, when you're in front of a crowd, there's interaction. People clap, people hoot and holler, and people sing along. When you're behind the scenes like this in front of a camera, is it hard to kind of get yourself motivated at times to get through a set?
The first thing that comes to mind when you mention singing along is a beautiful story about one of my favorite bands, an old English band called The Only Ones. Do you know them?
Yep.
Yeah, love that band. And there's a beautiful story about how they played at the CBS record company Christmas party the year that they were signed. And they didn't have a good relationship with the record company. The guy who signed them disappeared really quickly or something like that. So they were kind of stranded with this uncomprehending record company. And there they were playing the Christmas party to all the staff getting drunk. And they introduced the old big hit, Another Girl, Another Planet. They said, yes, you probably know this one. If you feel like singing along with the chorus, please don't.
That's awesome.
I love that band for every in every conceivable way, I'll tell you. It is very strange not having people in front of you, because it's a kind of worst case scenario deal, isn't it? If you're standing there just being an old toothless man in the corner singing grim ballads and people get fed up and start chatting and walking out, then you can see that happening.
Right.
But when you're just sat in front of your flatmate's iPhone, you don't see any of that. And at the end of every song, I think, my God, are they still there?
Right. And we are. And we are still there.
It's an odd combination of being relaxed because, you know, you're at home in your favorite chair, guitar in lap. I mean, it could be any afternoon, really.
Yeah.
So that side of it's very relaxed. But, yeah, the communicating with the people is kind of stressful.
No, and I can understand that because, you know, for a very long time, I used to DJ in the clubs. I used to, you know, travel around and DJ. And there, that was instant. You know, you could tell if you had 1,500 people on the dance floor, you knew you were doing a good job. At the radio station, just talking, you're like, kind of hoping someone's listening, please.
Yeah,
I need that paycheck. You know, so with this performance, what do you what will you be doing? Will you now? I mean, you
Go on.
Well, I was gonna say you've got a huge repertoire. I mean, you've got a long career. It's like, you know, you've got to be going through all the old, like, you know, from day one, I don't want to say day one, but, you know, through the whole career. Now, will you throw in maybe some new music at all, or try things out, or just play covers and just have fun? You know what I mean? Like, is it kind of on the wing, or do you have a whole set going?
Well, you know, when I started, the first one was easy because I just played my live set with a couple of amusing covers thrown in, you know, just to keep it interesting. But basically, I just played my live set and, you know, not showing off or anything, but I can pretty much do that with my eyes shut.
Right.
It's comfortable. I'm in an easy place. And of course, then the second and the third one come along and you think, oh, my goodness, I can't just do the same thing. No one's going to want that. And also, of course, people start sending in requests, and it's kind of interesting, you know, what they ask for. And it's like, but I'm just one bloke with a guitar. There's no drums. There's no bass. This will be very boring.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly looking at new old things, if you like, things that I've played loads of things on these shows that I've never, ever played in a room.
Okay.
In front of people. And, you know, one's constantly working out new ways, well, a way to play it as a solo acoustic artist, because I'm not that good a guitar player. So, like, I have to keep it pretty simple. So it's been quite sort of challenging and interesting, right, and occasionally under-rehearsed.
Right.
I will be there on Sunday, but I'm going to do the typical North American thing, and my request is going to be, because in North America everybody shouts out Freebird. So you're
not playing that.
No, but I'm just going to send the request anyways, because it's like, hi from North America, you know.
Yeah.
I sawed off, you know. Just,
you know. Yeah. Nah, what do you want to hear?
Hey, I got a couple quick questions, Pat, in regards to like the early days of the Jazz Butcher. You know, you guys were such a unique ensemble that kept changing as well. How'd you get that ensemble to start up?
Well, the initial lineup of the group was, we were basically all just old friends. And in the case of Dave J, new friends, because I met him when I moved up here in the middle of the 80s.
Was that before his stint with Love and Rockets and Tones on Tail? Or was that between Dave, Bauhaus and...
Dave wasn't in Tones on Tail. Dave left Bauhaus.
Right.
Accidentally joined our group and then went on to do Love and Rockets.
Okay, all right.
With his brother and Dan.
Right. Okay. And then that kind of stuck for a while with Max up until the early 90s?
No, Max and I worked together from like the very roots of it in 82 up to the end of 86.
Okay.
When we had this sort of weird dramatic falling out. And we reconnected in the early 90s, and by 96 he was playing in the band again, which is kind of weird because we were supposed to have split up in 95.
Right.
But we had this kind of weird afterlife. And yeah, I mean, we went around the world after we'd split up.
Right. Because I think the This Bloody Nonsense tour was what, 85 or 86?
It was the summer of 86, mate.
86, that was it, right.
Jeez.
Okay.
And then we were back again, 88, 89, 90, 92.
Right.
And then by 95, one of the reasons we'd given up was that our live stuff was in disarray. We didn't really have good representation at the time.
Right.
But then, 97, we went over to Seattle to play a wedding. Seriously.
That must be awesome.
It was good fun. It was on a boat.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. And then we're in Atlanta, 98. Then 99, we started playing like actual public things. We went down to the Troubadour in Los Angeles and so forth. 2000, 5-week tour of the USA and first dates ever in Japan.
Nice.
And then we went into Europe. And, you know, for a band that didn't exist, we were quite busy, really.
Yep. And you have a new project that you're working on right now.
Yeah, I'm in the process of putting together stuff for a new LP, yeah.
Okay. And is it just a solo, or is there some ensemble musicians joining in? I know,
like, there will definitely be other musicians involved. I don't know exactly which ones yet.
Okay. Because David's producing it, or working on, hopefully producing it.
Who's producing it?
Isn't it David Jay?
No.
No?
No, he's working on a little side project that we've got, but that's just a one-off thing. No, it's going to be produced by a chap called Lee Russell.
Oh, great. Okay.
His studio is a wonderland. It's in an old church.
Yep.
And you go into this enormous room and it's quite dark. It's all sort of quite subtly lit. And he's got all the instruments.
Mm.
All of them. He's got three of Brian Setzer's Gretsches in there for some reason. He's got a 1930s left-hand Martin acoustic. It's just outrageous, the stuff he's got. He's got a vibraphone in there.
Wow.
That's incredible. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you, though, was with the new album, working on the new material, you know, I've talked to some, you know, other musicians through these, you know, these past 13 months of the lockdown and pandemic. And they said, a lot of people said that they've had kind of creative problems because you haven't been able to go out. You haven't been able to go out and do stuff. Is it hard to get motivated to write music, write lyrics, write, you know, kind of get an idea together because, well, you're really not going out.
Because nothing's happening, yeah. There's a lovely old Ray Davies song from about 15 years ago, I guess, called Get a Life. Ray Davies from the Kinks, he'd been doing this tour where he'd play a few songs and then he kind of explained to the punters where the song came from, what it was made out of, how it was built, you know. And very interesting, I imagine. I didn't see any of these, but there'd be a Q&A as well. And when I heard this song, Get a Life, I thought, the Q&A. Because basically the verses, people going up to Ray and going, oh, man, how do I write a song like you? Oh, what do I write about? I want to be a songwriter like you, Ray, but how do I do it, Ray? And then the chorus comes thundering in and he just goes, get a life, get a life, get a life.
That's, you know? It's the truth, though. I mean, it is. It's tough to get. Well, let's be honest, the last 13 months, having a life has been a little harder. You know, I said early today, I was excited. I went out to a grocery store and I walked the aisles to go get myself my, you know, my coffee grounds and my milk. And it was like a day out.
All through it, I've been doing a daily waddle to the off license. But, you know, I have physical addiction on my side.
Right. Did you want to maybe play a song off the a working song off the new album, or one of the songs from your repertoire?
You want me to play you a tune?
I'd love to hear a tune.
I'll try.
Pick me. Play a tune.
Oh, just a moment.
What would you like to play?
Get my bat on. This song is, it'll be on the next record if I don't mess it up completely. And it comes from a conversation that we had. My lodger, my flatmate, Diren, he hadn't long moved in here. And he's from the Liverpool area. And he hadn't long moved in. And a mate of mine was around and winding him up about Liverpool and its reputation among idiots, because it's a great place. He was winding him up. He said, oh, what's the last burned out car you saw there? And Duran thought for a moment and he looked at the guy in all sincerity and went, that would be Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. And I reached for my notebook. And this is the story of Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. Let's take the elevator up through the roof. And we'll step out of time while I sing you my rhyme. And it's nothing but the gospel truth. It wasn't a real one. Lord, that would be mad. If you lived in a place like Formby Lancashire, like a Melanie Hargreaves dad. It was a lovely shade of lilac. It was a father's pride and joy. She was the first girl that he ever kissed. He was a lucky, lucky boy. It was a proper car of destiny. And that destiny came down on Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. Whoa, whoa. Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. So show me the hedge and tell me it's bedtime, cause I just can't face all the facts of this case. They're all too painful to relay. Kids from the city took the Jaguar away, drove it down to the beach and torched it. It might still be there today. It was a lovely shade of lilac. Now it's entirely burned out black. And however much you'd love it too, it ain't never coming back. And one day I'm gonna sell up everything that I own and I'll run away with you. And it will be nobody's business where we are. No, no. Like a Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. So Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. Was a lovely shade of lilac. Now it's mostly burned out black. And however much you'd love it to, it ain't never, 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 never coming back. And one day I'm gonna sell up everything that I own and I'll run away with you. And it won't be nobody's business where we are. No, no. Just like a Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. Whoa, whoa. Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar. That's Melanie Hargreaves' father's Jaguar.
Bravo. Bravo. Nice work, Pat.
Wow.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds amazing. You know, you know, right? Every time I hear you sing, especially with something like this, it makes me think back to a video you posted on YouTube. You're playing in a garden. I want to say you're playing on a patio. And it was some afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon performance with you
and, cool track.
And it was like, but it's that whole thing where it's like right now I want to sit in front of you with like a drink outside and have you just play like that and just be like mesmerized.
Marmalized. Yeah, that was a place in Belgium called Kortrijk.
Okay.
We were on our way to do another gig, but our host over there, he said, hey, you can play in this bar if you want in the afternoon. And we did. And we were largely ignored by the Belgians. They were just having lunch and drinking beer the way they do in Belgium. Except for one family with very small children who were all singing along, hey, shalalala, oh my, my, she's on drugs. Which kind of made the afternoon for me.
So if I could just interrupt really quickly, my friend Michael Stout, and you know him, Chris,
yep,
just sent me a picture. He said that he absolutely loves you, and he just showed me a picture of Western Family autographed.
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
He's listening to you right now in Japan.
Yes, that's where we last met. Was I think it was in Shima Kitazawa. And yeah, I have some pictures of him and me together on that occasion. Bless him. Hi, Mike.
Awesome. So Sunday from the Fishy Mansions. What time is that? Eastern Standard? Anyone?
Well, it's
about 4 PM, I think.
Four in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon on the Patfish Facebook page.
Uh-huh. All you got to do is turn up, and it'll be happening.
Fabulous.
Well, kind sir, thank you very much for this. Hopefully we get to chat again. And, you know, when as you get closer to the new album, maybe we can talk about the new record. And or if you're ever just bored and you want to talk to somebody at dinner time, dinner time, your time, lunchtime, Mars, we'd love to stay in touch with you.
Lovely. Well, I'm always here if you need me.
Thanks, Pat. Great seeing awesome. You. Nice talking to you and catching up.
Thanks,
Pat Fish. Congratulations. Cheers. Thank you.
All the best. Cheers. Time.
Bye-bye.
And that's Pat Fish, the Jazz Butcher.
I'm giddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. A lot of memories there, man. A lot of memories there.
Well, I guess we should probably be wrapping things up, Mr. Chris Yuzinski.
We got to go.
Always a pleasure to be doing Gnipkin Op with you.
We got to go. It's always great. Have a great week, everybody. You can catch this show on YouTube Live in audio form. Everywhere you consume your audio, including Audible and Amazon, everyone else. Great. We'll see you guys next week. This is Gnipkin Op.
Peace.